We celebrate, we rejoice, we proclaim the truth, our belief in the presence of the body and blood of Jesus. When we think of the body and blood, when we're thinking of carving a piece of flesh out of Jesus or his drop, just a drop of his blood on its own, you know. Theologians talk about certain parts of the body of Jesus that are united to his person. You know, if you clipped his fingernails or took a hair out of his head or maybe some spittle or something like that, those things are not united to his divinity. But his flesh is, his blood is, and his organs are, and certain things like that. So the flesh and blood, we're talking the body and blood of Jesus is united to his divinity. So we talk about his humanity, which makes up his body and blood and his soul. That makes a human person. And Jesus was human. He wasn't a human person, though. He was a divine person, one person. But he had two natures, his human nature comprised of his body, blood, and soul. And then he had his divine nature, which is his person, divine person, and his divine nature, all that in one, in his human life, God and man together, and we find that in the Eucharist. We find all of his humanity and all of his divinity present in the Eucharist, in the wafer that we receive. And we need to kind of come down to that specific thing. The wafer we receive is all of God. God Almighty is present in the wafer that we receive in the Eucharist. And we're exercising that faith in that presence of God, which should make us to bow down and prostrate and think of God all of the day. And if we really believed in the divinity and humanity of Jesus present in the churches, we would spend all day in church if we could. And we actually should, you know, if we could do that, if we had the time, we had, couldn't do that if the churches were open, etc. He is worthy of that, of that kind of prostration and total time spent. You know, think of the anchorites who, you know, some women and men who locked themselves into a little room next to a church, and so they could see with a window to the tabernacle. They could spend all their time present with the Eucharist. He's worthy of that, and it's something the church has permitted and even encouraged for those who have that grace to do that. And what do we do today? The church, of course, you know, is waning in faith. You know, how many Catholics really believe that Jesus is present in the Eucharist? Polls are taken. Most Catholics, you know, what does it go up to, 80% today in some places don't believe that Jesus is present in the Eucharist. This is what separates the men from the boys, or the women from the girls, or the saints from the lukewarm. Do you believe in the Eucharist? Do you believe in the way that it affects your life? It makes you do things. It makes you go to church. It makes you go to Mass more often. It makes you pray and spend time, and maybe a lot of time, in church and before the Blessed Sacrament. It makes you do things. You know, if you don't go to church, you don't think of the Eucharist, you're not going to, it's going to affect your faith, and it's going to affect your life, affect your behavior, affect the way you treat other people. We go to the Eucharist and we receive life. We receive divine life. We receive grace, which is God's life. It makes us good, makes us charitable, makes us live a spiritual life instead of a fleshly life, a life of selfishness. We need to come, we have to come to the Eucharist. That's the way God made our spiritual life, and especially today as Christians baptized, we are called and expected and obligated to receive the Eucharist, spend time with the Eucharist. And if we don't, we will drop faster than any others. This is what really makes us Catholic, you know, Catholic in the fullest sense. Do we believe in the Eucharist? And do we exercise it? You know, how do we exercise it? We come to church. We spend time before the tabernacle, before our Lord exposed. We come to Mass as often as we can to receive the Eucharist. And we let it affect us. We make a thanksgiving. We spend time. We make that effort You know, and that's an act of love for God. It's an act of love to your neighbor when you make an effort to think of them, to do good to them, to spend time and give them attention. That's an act of love. And that's what faith is, an act of love. It takes work, it takes effort, it takes sacrifice. That's what love is, this expending ourselves, reaching out, thinking, being thoughtful of others. And we need to do this with Jesus too. He's here to because he wants our attention. He wants us to give attention to him too. So we don't need to just do it in church. We make spiritual communions at home. We think of our Lord when we can't go to Mass, we can't be in church, as lay people can't. Us religious are blessed to live in the house of the Eucharist, the house of God. We can easily spend time with him. And if we don't, we have more to answer for. But it is a blessing that we need to take advantage of. If you live near a church, we take advantage of that time you can spend easily with our Lord. And again, you know, God expects that from us if we have it easy. If we have it easy, we need to use what God has given to us. And so we are here to proclaim to the world, but also proclaim to ourselves that the Eucharist is real, Jesus is real in the Eucharist, that he's dwelling among us, he's with us, he has not abandoned us in even the slightest way after the resurrection, when they started celebrating Mass, Jesus was always with us, always on earth, always present to us. He's never left us, and we have his real, powerful presence. We need to take advantage of it and receive all the graces, all the goodness of Jesus. When Our Lady said to Saint Catherine Labouré, "If you should bring your problems, your sorrows, your needs, your questions, bring them all to the foot of the altar, and you'll receive everything from the Eucharist." Jesus is that Son that spoke of, you know, the wheel, the hub of the wheel that radiates all the graces that we need. And we need to come to the center, the churches. Jesus is the center of our life, and we come to him to receive everything that we need. So we want to nourish our faith starting today, you know, renewing it today. And again, we want to proclaim it to ourselves and then proclaim it to the world that we believe in this unbelievable thing, that Jesus is present in what appears to be bread and wine. We proclaim that to the world unabashedly with that courage, a courage to the world, to our fellow Catholics first, and also to our Protestant brethren, who we can just refer to the chapter 6 in the book of John. You read that chapter, read the chapter 6, and you try to find a symbolic explanation that Jesus is present in bread and wine. Try to find symbolism there, and you won't. You know, you'd really, really, really try to twist scripture to say Jesus wasn't literally saying you must eat my flesh and drink my blood. And he says it over and over and over. How many times? Says it about 8 times. In addition to that, he's saying, "I'm the bread of life come down from heaven." You really have to twist scripture to say that this is symbolism, and we don't. Of course, Protestants take scripture literally most of the time, and why won't they won't take that literally? They should. And they just sort of skip over that. So we need to bring that to their attention. Read it, study it, meditate on that, my Protestant brother and sister, and you will see that Jesus meant what he said. And we see in the gospel today, he says, "This is my body." This is God saying, "This is my body." To a piece of bread, it becomes his body because God says it. As he said, you know, "Let there be light, let there be earth," and there was. So he says he's creating himself in the bread, which he changes into his bread of life, into himself, into his body and blood. So we take him at his word, and we, again, we know this intellectually and by our faith. We just need to exercise it and realize that if we don't exercise it, we don't pray in church, we don't make a thanksgiving, we don't talk to Jesus, we don't ask him for things, we don't spend time with him, then our faith will wane to a point. We keep doing that, and our faith will wane where we don't believe it anymore. So, and that'll affect our spiritual life. So let us exercise it. Let us exercise it and make it strong and grow in love. Grow in love. That's the focus. That's the purpose, to grow in love, because it is the sacrament of love, and love is everything. Love is everything in our Christian life, and he's here to make us grow in love as we receive him and as we spend time with him.
Oh.